Are we on? Would someone kindly close that door back there? It's very bright. Good afternoon, brethren, and happy holy day to all of you for the Feast of Trumpets 2013. Welcome to all of our visitors and to any brethren who are listening online. All right, how's that? Is that all right? And there might be one person in the room today who is observing the Feast of Trumpets the first time, correct? Anyways, this day pictures the time in the future when God begins to intervene powerfully in the affairs of mankind in a very direct way. Other times God intervened powerfully in the past, were during the time of Noah and the flood, the Tower of Babel, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the 10 plagues on Egypt. If you look in Genesis 1, 14 to 19, God created the heavenly bodies to be the signs between the day and the night, and also to mark the seasons, that is, his holy day seasons. One prime example in the Bible of a heavenly sign was the Star of Bethlehem, which appeared at the birth of Christ. Last spring, Jeff Leedy and I were discussing some comments he had made in a recent message that he gave where he was talking about stars, the different colors of stars, and the life of stars. And he asked me if I would give a message about heavenly signs. In all my years in the church, I have never heard a message devoted to heavenly signs. I've heard many references to them, but I've never heard a message specifically devoted to heavenly signs. We are going to discuss this afternoon some of the signs, specifically heavenly signs, that have happened in the past and others that will become more apparent leading up to this turning point in human history when God begins the process of humbling mankind. God has been sending many signs and warnings in the past several years especially, but people don't seem to be paying any attention at all. As some of you know, I have been an amateur astronomer of sorts for more than 50 years, going all the way back to NASA's Project Mercury. For those of you who don't remember that far back, Project Mercury in the late 50s and early 60s was man's first attempt at human spaceflight. Sometime in the near future, I'm planning to give a message examining possible reasons why God created the ever-expanding universe. We know that one reason he created us is to show how great his mind is and how powerful he is. But based on some of the preliminary research that I've done in preparing this message, I think we need to understand that God uses stars and specifically the signs of the zodiac for his own purposes. Now, we know that Satan takes everything that God says or does or stands for and he perverts it. And he has also done that with the zodiac through astrology. We're not going to get into astrology, but at some point we will discuss God's creation of the universe and how all of these things play into his plan, because it's a very mammoth and complex thing. And today I can only touch a little bit on the subject of heavenly signs. Will you first turn with me to Matthew 24, the well-known prophecy that Jesus gave, Matthew 24 and beginning in verse 29. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, if we go over into Revelation 6, we have a parallel prophecy. In Revelation 6, beginning in verse 12, talking about the sixth seal. And when he had opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as the fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken by a mighty wind. And the heaven departed like a scroll that is when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So what we see here, brethren, with the sixth seal or the heavenly signs, it is saying that God is now ready to start intervening directly and powerfully into the affairs of mankind. And that leads up to the trumpet plagues and so forth. Over the last several years, various signs that we have seen ourselves have been increasing in frequency and intensity. These signs also include natural disasters such as drought, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, severe storms, and earthquakes. This is due in part to the great increase in sin in the world, as well as man's foolishness and his ongoing short-sightedness in dealing with the environment. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and beginning in 19. The whole world is waiting for the time when the sons of God will be seen. The world was spoiled. It did not want to be spoiled, but God allowed it. And it hoped to be free like God's children when they are made great. We know that the whole world has been crying. It has had much pain until now. And the reason for that, brethren, is because the world is completely saturated with sin, and the creation is crying out. So one question I have for you today, the first question, is what are some of the heavenly signs that have transpired recently or will occur in the near future? The first one is Comet Ison, ISON, which stands for the International Scientific Optical Network. This comet was discovered by two Russian astronomers on the morning of September 21st, 2012. Its closest approach to the Earth will be on December 26th this year. Starting around mid-January 2014, the Earth will pass through the tail of the comet, and they're thinking that perhaps this could become the comet of the century. Another sign that we saw not too long ago was the meteor that exploded above Russia's Ural Mountains on February the 15th, injuring between 500 and 1,000 people and damaging hundreds of buildings. It was the biggest such blast in that area in more than a century. The third one is the tremendous increase in sunspot activity, solar flares coming from the sun, and aurora. The fourth one is the association of lunar and solar eclipses in succession around or on God's holy days, associating those with some important events in history. Turn with me now to the book of Luke, chapter 21. The book of Luke, chapter 21, and beginning in verse 10, Jesus said there will be fearful signs and great signs in the heavens in the days leading up to the end times. Changes in the sun and unexpected sights in the skies might also call attention to these days. Other fearful attacks might include solar storms, UFOs, space debris, the threat of EMP attack, which is electromagnetic pulse, which could basically bring our nation to a halt, and man-made interference with the atmosphere through weather modification and other technologies. Now I'm going to discuss a little bit about what some of these signs are. The first one being asteroids and comets, which I just briefly touched on. At the end of 2012 came news of a previously unknown comet, which I just mentioned, Ison, to visit our skies in 2013. There was also a different comet earlier this year called Comet Pan-STARRS, discovered in June 2011, and first seen in March 2013. In ancient times, the appearance of a comet was considered as an evil omen. We don't see them that way today, but they do draw our attention to the heavens and remind us that there are many incredible and sometimes dangerous objects up there. The Book of Revelation speaks of a number of asteroids that will impact the earth during the Great Tribulation in Revelation 6 and also in Revelation 8. In May 2012, extensive new sky mapping techniques were used to show us that there are likely nearly 5,000 potentially hazardous asteroids in orbit around the sun, as well as approximately 1,500 space rocks that are larger than 330 feet wide. Their orbits occasionally bring them close enough to threaten the Earth. Second category is sunspot activity and solar storms. Since 2008, when sunspots were at their lowest level in the past 50 years, sunspot activity has greatly increased during this current solar cycle, which has an average duration of 11 years. So it goes back and forth between lots of sunspots and virtually no sunspots. By the end of this year, the sun will reach what they call solar max, or its peak of its 11-year cycle of activity. If a coronal mass ejection, CME, happens to release its explosive power directly toward the Earth, the resulting electromagnetic fluctuations can cause failure of our power grids and satellites, including communications, GPS signals, and aircraft navigation. If this would happen, it could take up to 10 years to repair the damage. In March 2012, the Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope, launched in 2008, recorded a powerful solar flare. It caused the sun to briefly become the brightest object in the gamma ray sky. It produced high-energy gamma rays for about 20 hours, 2.5 times longer than any event on record. Category number three, UFOs. Now, we generally think of UFOs as science fiction. Well, they could be science fiction, but then again, they could be nonfiction. Thousands of possible UFO sightings have been registered during this generation. Numerous movies have explored the possibility of alien life forms visiting or invading the Earth. Somewhere between the extremes of wild speculation and blind denial, the evidence suggests that there is something unexplained happening. This could be the major fulfillment of Jesus' predictions of fearful sights. Fear of the unknown could be used by the man of sin in the end times to convince people to believe lies, as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. UFO phenomena may be a demonic setup for the lie that some New Age believers already teach, that when the coming age of Aquarius is ushered in, alien spacecraft will remove the troublemakers from the Earth. I guess those troublemakers include us. Next item, Area 51, which I'm sure most of you have heard of. It does exist. In fact, the government came out recently and said it does exist. It's located 83 miles north-northwest of Las Vegas It's a restricted airspace, and its primary purpose is, quote, highly secretive and officially undetermined. Although it appears that the area is a research and development site for highly advanced aircraft, there are reportedly also about 20 other secret sites around the world similar to Area 51. Space debris. There are some 19,000 now useless man-made objects larger than 2 inches wide floating around in orbit, and another 300,000 smaller fragments of rockets and satellites that have been launched from Earth into space. Many of these objects are tracked, but the potential for critical collisions and uncontrolled reentry is a growing problem. Interference with the atmosphere. From 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul foretold of the powers of the future man of sin, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Some secret technologies have been developed which have the potential of being used for evil and for making people believe lies about what has actually happened or has happened in the past. For example, the government's explanation for the 9/11 terrorist attack, which Americans have blindly accepted, is perhaps the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American public. Following now are some examples of how man is interfering with the atmosphere. Some of these may sound far-fetched to you. However, I want you as God's people to deeply consider this. Do you really believe Satan is the master deceiver who has deceived the whole world, even including some of God's people? Think about it. In Genesis 11, we find the story of the Tower of Babel and how Nimrod and all the people wanted to make a name for themselves. I think one time I read that this tower was going to reach up so far into the heavens, at least that's what they were thinking, that they would always be safe if God decided to flood the earth again, because they could climb up and they would be up above the waters. But we know no matter how high they would go up, God would make the water go up. So when God came down to see what the people were doing, he decided at that point in time to confuse their languages. Then they would have a very difficult time working together from that point forward. And God said at that point in time, this is only the beginning of what they plan to do, and from now on, nothing will be impossible for them. We are reaching the point now, brethren, where we have a universal language throughout the world of English, and man, again, is reaching the point where nothing is impossible to achieve. The first category of interfering with Earth's atmosphere are chemtrails. Chemtrails are illegal spraying of harmful substances in the atmosphere to modify weather, or which has a direct effect on people's brains and bodies. This started as far back as 1949 under the Geneva Act for Chemical and Biological Weapons. Second, cloud seeding, the creation of rain and snow. Number three, HAARP. How many people here have heard of HAARP? A few. It's H-A-A-R-P. It's not H-A-R-P like the instrument. It's H-A-A-R-P, which stands for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. This facility in Alaska is able to change atmospheric conditions and also trigger disasters, such as massive earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, even tsunamis. It is a known fact that weather modification technology has been around since it was first being developed in the 1950s, nearly 60 years ago. This technology represents the ultimate secret weapon. Most of you have heard of Project Blue Book, the U.S. Air Force investigation into UFOs, which I believe officially closed near the end of the 1960s. They explained there wasn't enough evidence. Well, there was another project that they started shortly after that called Project Blue Beam, a technology capable of projecting holographic images into the sky, in addition to the many other goals of this project, which was originally developed as far back as 1983. Here is a short quote from a paper that was written in 1994 by the French-Canadian Serge Monast, exposing the true goals of this secret government project. These incredible revelations were secretly or anonymously given to him by contrite politicians, military people, or intelligence people who still possessed a conscience and a sense of humanity. And I quote from the introduction to this study paper. The infamous NASA Blue Beam Project has four different steps in order to implement the New Age religion with the Antichrist at its head. We must remember that the New Age religion is the very foundation for the New World government, without which religion the dictatorship of the New World Order is completely impossible. I'll repeat that. Without a universal belief in the New Age religion, the success of the New World Order will be impossible. That is why the Blue Beam Project is so important to them, but has been so well hidden until now. End of quote. Serge Monast and another journalist, both of whom were researching the Project Blue Beam, died of heart attacks within weeks of each other, although neither had a history of heart disease. Serge was in Canada, and the other journalist was visiting Ireland. Pseudo-heart attacks are one of the alleged methods of death induced by Project Blue Beam. Now consider a few recent headlines that confirm how fast our world is moving toward a one-world religion. August 11, 2013. Pope Francis reaches out to Muslims at the end of Ramadan. Pope Francis has urged Christians and Muslims to work together to promote mutual respect, particularly by educating new generations of believers. He greeted Muslims around the world during his Sunday blessing of pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square in Rome. The second item is from July 31st, 2013. Imam Talib Sharif of the mosque Masjid Muhammad in Washington, D.C., opened a session of the United States Congress with a prayer to Allah on Capitol Hill. And from July 16th, beginning in 2014, the United Kingdom will require all British schoolchildren to complete a unit on the history of Islam. Proudly reports Press TV, Iran's very own 24-hour English language news organization. Next item, which I previously mentioned, was eclipses, astronomical eclipse data and how they feed into God's feasts or holy days. We are aware that God said in Genesis 1, that the sun, moon, and stars are to be for signs and seasons. Also consider solar and lunar eclipses, something that is extremely rare in astronomy, is for four total lunar eclipses to occur in succession. Usually many partial eclipses occur in between. Even more remarkable is for a group of four lunar eclipses, or what's referred to as a tetrad, which is simply meaning a group of four, to occur on God's feast days. This lunar tetrad event, coupled with God feasts, will occur only once in this present century, namely in 2014 and 2015. That tetrad event only occurred once in the last century. Those occasions were in 1967 and 1968. Four total lunar eclipses occurred in succession, first on Passover 67 and Tabernacles, and then followed in 1968 on Passover and Tabernacles. The point of interest in this connection is that the tetrad of lunar eclipses in the 20th century surrounded the return of the Old City of Jerusalem to Jewish control on June 7, 1967. There were no tetrads in the 1800s, 1700s, or 1600s, though there were some related events in the 1500s during the precise time in history when the wall was being built, which currently surrounds Old Jerusalem. So these upcoming eclipses to occur next year, total lunar eclipses on the first day of unleavened bread and tabernacles, and also on the first day of unleavened bread and tabernacles the following year. And also solar eclipses feed into this. A total solar eclipse will be on the first day of Nisan in March 2015, and a partial solar eclipse will occur on Rosh Hashanah in September 2015. These astronomical events have the potential to herald a major upheaval which could be worldwide, but could also be focused on events in the Middle East. And there has been news of this lately, referring to these total lunar eclipses as blood moons, because when there is a total lunar eclipse, sometimes the appearance of the moon turns red, just like blood. And many evangelicals throughout the land are snatching onto this possibility that this is going to herald the return of Christ in the next few years. So after all is said and done, brethren, what are the reasons for these heavenly signs? In addition to signs that man will produce, why will God send his own signs in the end times? Through the ages, mankind has always been fascinated by the heavenly bodies, sometimes worshiping them, sometimes reading portent in them. Modern man has mapped the heavens and calculated the eclipses and orbits of comets. What would it take to get people's attention today? Likely, it will take the awesome miracles that Jesus Christ foretold, the heavenly signs that he mentioned, as well as other signs and wonders performed by Satan through the beast and the false prophet, will be clearly supernatural and will fulfill numerous prophecies of the Bible. Jesus' description of a darkened sun and moon, falling stars, and the heavens being shaken would have struck a chord in the minds of people 2,000 years ago. So would John's record, which also included the element of an earthquake. Such events were described many times throughout the Old Testament in connection with a time called the Day of the Lord. Isaiah's vivid imagery also talks about people hiding in the rocks. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and beginning in verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. In the midst of this traumatic time, people will find finally see the worthlessness of all of their idols, which they will throw to the moles and bats, as Isaiah describes in verse 20 of the same chapter. Our cars, entertainment centers, and other toys that are now the focus of our attention and affections as much as a household god would be in a different society. The greedy desire for more and more things will eventually be seen as a worthless goal. Isaiah addresses the day of the Lord again in chapter 13, 9-13, this time tied into the darkening of the stars, sun, and moon. Ezekiel also describes heavenly signs in his prophecy and lamentation for Pharaoh in Egypt in Ezekiel 32, reminiscent of the ninth plague of darkness. Joel also points the time of these heavenly signs in Joel 2:31, which says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming great and awesome day of the Lord." And also in Haggai 2 and verse 6, reveals that God will once more shake the heavens and the earth. So we wonder, why is Jesus Christ described as a wrathful Lamb? It seems shocking to hear about the wrath of the Lamb, as it says in Revelation 6:16. The word produces a stark contrast, and it's hard to imagine a cuddly little lamb as being angry. Why is Christ coming in such great wrath? Part of the answer is shown in the fifth seal of Revelation, which pictures the saints throughout history who have been martyred because they serve God, and they are pictured as crying out to God, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Revelation 6:10. God's anger is righteous and controlled and totally justified. Even his anger is motivated by love. The world is destroying itself with perverted thinking and depraved actions. Christ also compared the end time with the time of Noah in Matthew 24. In Noah's day, humanity had descended to the depths of evil and violence that worsened from generation to generation, just as it is doing today. God is grieved to see those who he created destroying themselves, just as he grieved in Genesis 6 when he saw that violence filled the earth and that man's thoughts were only evil continually. But at certain times and places in history, his grief and righteous anger demand action. God expresses tough love when it is all that will get through to us. He did it in the past, and he will do it again. When God's ways are practiced in the new world and kingdom, mankind will finally know true peace and happiness. All tears and sorrow will be wiped away. Sin and its evil effects will be banished forever. Brethren, it is my prayer that each of every one of you will be aware of these things, and that you will not be deceived, but fully awake, focused on and zealous for God and his way of life, and patiently waiting for the return of Jesus Christ in all power and great glory. Finally, please turn with me to Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. And beginning in 25. Miraculous signs will occur in the sun, moon, and stars. The nations of the earth will be deeply troubled and confused because of the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint as they fearfully wait for what will happen to the world. Indeed, the powers of the universe will be shaken. And skipping now to verse 34. Make sure that you don't become drunk, hungover, and worried about life, then that day could suddenly catch you by surprise, like a trap that catches a bird. That day will surprise all the people who live on the earth. Be alert at all times. Pray so that you have the power to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the Son of Man. That's all I have. Any comments?